Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're focusing squarely on the incredible pace of digital growth right across Sion.
Yep, and our guide is the latest Economy SEA report, the 10th edition, actually. Google Temasek, Bain & Company behind this one.
That's right. It maps out the region's digital path right through 2025.
And this deep dive, it's really for you if you're shaping policy, maybe making investment calls.
Or just need the quick version on the big shifts happening in, well, a super dynamic region.
Exactly. We'll be getting into the nitty-gritty of e-commerce transformation, AI's impact, and the policy side of that, plus how regional cooperation is playing out across all 10 Sion nations.
And the headline number is just massive, isn't it?
It really is. The report says the Sion digital economy is racing towards, get this, over $300 billion in gross merchandise value, GMV.
Wow, $300 billion. And wasn't the original forecast way lower?
Way lower. That's 1.5 times what they predicted just a decade ago.
Yeah.
Shows you the acceleration.
And a sustained acceleration, too.
That's the key thing. The report confirms this isn't a blip. It's solid double-digit growth still, both the GMV and revenue.
Holding steady around, what, 15% year over year?
Around 15%, yeah. And that's across the board now, not just the usual CA6.
Right, they've expanded the scope. It covers all 10 CI-owned markets now.
Mm-hmm. Includes Brunei, Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar, alongside the big six.
So we're talking a huge population base.
Huge. 614 million people covered by this analysis.
Okay, let's unpack the biggest piece first. E-commerce. Still the dominant sector, yeah. But it's changing shape, right? Not just growing anymore.
Yeah, it's really transforming. The story now is about monetization and consolidation, too.
Consolidation meaning fewer, bigger players.
Exactly. You're seeing a smaller group of large regional companies really leveraging their scale. It's getting tougher for the smaller ones.
Makes sense. But you mentioned transformation. What's driving that?
Well, the big story, the really interesting bit, is how people are actually shopping. It's about new formats.
New formats. Okay, the report flags something called shoppertainment, video commerce. That sounds like it's exploded.
Exploded is the right word. It's fundamentally changing things. Video commerce, they project, could grab 25% a quarter of total e-commerce GMV by 2025.
25%? Wow. What was it just a few years ago?
Tiny. Less than 5% back in 2022. So it's gone from niche to potentially a core channel really, really fast.
And the data shows this isn't about prices going up, right? It's volume.
Totally volume driven. A massive 50% jump year over year in just the number of transactions.
And there's that interesting detail on the average order value, the AOV.
Yeah, that tells the story. Overall, e-commerce AOV is, what, $11 to $13?
Something like that.
But for video commerce, it's much lower, down at $6 to $7 per order.
So lots of smaller, quicker buys. Impulse purchases, maybe?
Exactly. Very immediate, engagement driven. See it, like it. Buy it. And it also reflects a shift in the creator world.
Ah, right. Not just the mega influencers anymore.
No, the report points out that niche and micro influencers are really driving growth here. Their followers trust them. They seem more authentic, maybe.
And that trust translates directly into sales.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And speaking of speed and, you know, seamless experiences, AI is already playing a big part.
Right. The report had a number on that 62% of consumers.
62% across, say, AI-powered stuff, like those hyper-personalized recommendations you see everywhere, mm-hmm. have already influenced what they bought. It's baked into the journey now.
Which is a neat lead-in because Sion consumers are apparently way out front globally in just adopting AI tools.
Oh, absolutely. Super enthusiastic, especially for, like, finding stuff online or just daily convenience. Adoption's around 75% for those uses.
Okay, so high consumer adoption. Right. But that creates friction, doesn't it? Especially
yeah.
when you look at it from a policy or economic standpoint.
Huge friction. And the first big hurdle is, well, simple economics. Cost versus benefit.
You mean the cost of the AI itself versus labor costs?
Precisely. It's a real challenge for policymakers thinking about economic strategy. These cutting-edge AI models developed in places with really high wages.
Like the U.S. or Europe.
Right. Now, compare that to Sion. The weighted average wage there is only like 5% of U.S. wages.
5%. Well,
and maybe 36% of China wages. So that huge upfront cost for sophisticated AI, it's much harder to justify when augmenting relatively low-cost human labor is still a very viable option.
So the economic case for just swapping out workers for AI isn't nearly as strong.
It's much more complex, yeah. Not as clear-cut as elsewhere.
Okay, so that's one hurdle. But there's also a trust issue, particularly for more serious stuff.
Definitely. People are fine letting AI help them discover things, maybe manage their calendar. But higher stakes decisions, financial advice, medical, letting an AI actually buy something complex on its own.
Yeah, much more caution there.
A lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Most users still want to be the one making the final call. Only a minority really trust AI, like implicitly to make the best decision or give advice they'd follow without checking.
So for businesses, and maybe regulators too, building that trust is key. How do they do that?
Transparency is huge. Being clear about where AI gets its info, citing sources, and control. Users need to feel like they're in charge of the settings, the permissions.
Okay, transparency and control. And that trust challenge seems especially critical for what the report calls agentic transactions.
Ah, yes, the next frontier. Basically, letting an AI agent complete a full purchase autonomously. Think booking a complex trip or managing investments.
Sounds powerful, but I can see the roadblocks. What are the big policy ones?
Well, number one is just fragmentation. Regulations aren't consistent across digital ID systems, which you'd need for this. Coverage is patchy.
Right. You need reliable ways to know who the AI is acting for.
Exactly. And then there's the liability question. If an AI messes up a big transaction, who is on the hook? The user, the platform, the AI developer.
Oof. Yeah, regulators are probably scratching their heads over that one.
They definitely are. That lack of clarity really holds back cross-border deployment. And it links to the payment infrastructure, too.
How so? Because it's not all Visa and MasterCard.
Precisely. The payment scene in CUN is driven by local innovations. E-wallets, national QR code systems everywhere. Not global card networks, mostly.
The report mentioned cards are a tiny fraction in some places.
Less than 10% of total payment value in markets like Indonesia, Cambodia, Myanmar, Laos. So for AI agents to work seamlessly across borders, you can't just rely on existing global rails.
You need innovation that builds on those local systems, like the QR codes.
That's the policy challenge and opportunity. Make that local infrastructure agentic ready.
Okay, so AI integration has these economic hurdles, trust issues, regulatory complexity. But where is policy already working well? Where are we seeing success in enabling digital flows?
Well, the clear success story is digital financial services, or DFS. And it's really been driven by proactive regional cooperation.
You mentioned QR codes before. That seems like a massive coordination win.
It's honestly a phenomenal achievement from a governance perspective. Think about it. All 10 CUN countries now have their own national unified QR systems.
Like MMQR in Myanmar, TARS QR in Brunei. Examples like that.
Exactly. These national systems allow controlled local growth. But the really big step is linking them up.
Cross-border interoperability. How many have managed that?
8 of these national QR systems can now talk to each other. It's part of this regional payment connectivity initiative.
Getting 8 central banks, soon maybe 9, to agree on technical standards and rules. That's incredibly difficult.
Like herding cats, technologically speaking. But they're doing it. The National Bank of Cambodia just joined as the 9th signatory this year.
And what does that mean practically? For businesses? For policy?
It means smoother cross-border commerce. A small shop in Thailand can potentially accept payment easily from a tourist using their home country's QR app from, say, Singapore or Malaysia. It's laying the groundwork.
Okay, so payments infrastructure is a policy bright spot. Anywhere else? Digital wealth.
Yes, that's another sign of maturity. Digital wealth platforms are actually reaching significant scale now. Several have reported over $1 billion in assets under management.
A billion AUM. That signals real user trust for more complex financial stuff online.
It really does. People are getting comfortable.
Okay, zooming out slightly. Thinking about those sectors adjacent to pure e-commerce, any sharp insights on profitability shifts? Food delivery, for instance.
Food delivery. Often the poster child for burning cash, right?
Historically, yeah.
Well, the report suggests it's getting closer to profitability. And interestingly, not just by cutting costs.
How then?
By finding new ways to get revenue from existing customers. Expanding into things like selling vouchers for in-restaurant dining, loyalty subscriptions, capturing more value beyond just the delivery fee.
Clever. Increasing the average order value or lifetime value that way.
Exactly. And the other big adjacent story is retail media.
Right. Advertising on e-commerce platforms using their own shopper data.
Yeah, and it's absolutely surging. It's become a major monetization lever across the ecosystem. We're talking about platforms getting really good at using their first-party data.
And the number.
It's already lifted the sector to around $3 billion. Almost overnight, this high-margin revenue stream appeared.
That's huge. Okay, quite a journey. So let's try and wrap this up. The big picture. That $300 billion GMV milestone looks very achievable.
Definitely on track.
Driven by huge shifts in e-commerce, especially video, and that underlying AI integration.
Yep, shoppertainment and personalization.
But also underpinned by some real policy successes, like getting those QR payment systems working across borders in so many CO nations.
That financial infrastructure piece is crucial, foundational.
Looking forward, then, the report basically says the next decade hinges on balancing catalysts and hurdles.
Pretty much. You've got powerful drivers, AI really taking off, maybe fresh investment coming in, CO and cooperation deepening.
But also big headwinds.
Yeah.
Global economic uncertainty, those fragmented regulations we talked about.
Exactly. And the report nails it by calling the regulatory choices the real wild card. Policy decisions can either supercharge growth or seriously constrain it.
Which brings us perfectly to a final thought for you, our listener, especially if you're in the policy space. If fragmentation is the big challenge, and those AI agentic transactions need smooth cross-border ID and payments, well, you have to wonder, which FIEN country might be best placed to actually pioneer the first trusted region-wide AI agent for those complex transactions? Is it maybe Singapore with its strong focus on AI governance and solid regulatory frameworks?
Or maybe somewhere like Vietnam. The report mentions really high user trust there, very rapid adoption of new tech, maybe more willingness to share data for these things.
It's a fascinating question. Who takes the lead in building that regulatory and technical trust first? Something to definitely mull over.
Indeed it is. Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
We'll catch you next time.